later.
Got it. Got it. We've been talking through all the names of God, and later on I'm going to do a quick recap because I found myself forgetting what I talked about. And we're going to see how many of the names that we went through. But today is El Shaddai. You guys heard this? It's the only thing I think of is song. This song. How do you sing it? Amy Grant.
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai. Yeah, that one. El Shaddai. Na 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 Adonai. Yes, I remember that.
Age,
you're still the same by your power of your name. Yes. That's the reason why Pastor James said, hey, don't join choir. Just kidding. I know, that's mean. Even though I love to sing. Yeah. Just a little fun tip. All right, El Shaddai. So we all know that song, well, some of us, right, know that song. But I never really knew what it meant, honestly. It was a good song, and I remember it kind of, but I don't remember what it means until kind of dive in further. But let's learn what that means today, okay? Can someone read Genesis 17, 1 to 2? This is where this name was first mentioned. Clara? You? Oh. Does someone online want to read?
I mentioned yes, but
yeah,
if there's anyone else.
Yes.
Okay. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly.
Thank you, Janet. So a lot of these names, you see that it's being revealed with Abraham. That's why we keep going back to the story of Abraham. If you think like, how come we're talking about Abraham? It's because God's, you know, just revealing himself to Abraham through this journey of Abraham receiving his child, right? His firstborn, Isaac. So right here, this is right before Sarah conceived. So Abraham's still waiting. He's probably still frustrated. And God says, he appears to him. He says, hey, walk before me. And this before me is not even the word before me. It's walk in my face. Panim. Walk before my face. Walk in my face. Walk in front of my face. That's literally what it means. But it doesn't make sense in English. So they translated, walk before me. Sounds so much easier to understand. And then right after that, you see Abraham fell on his face, right? It's interesting. He fell on his panim, his face, and God talked. You know, it sounds weird, panim, right? Abraham fell on his face. God says, walk in my face. Abraham fell in his face. So I kind of want to just, what do you think when God says, hey, walk before me? What do you think that kind of means in light of like knowing like this face imagery? What do you think it means to walk before me? And then now you have the insight, oh, the actual word is face. What does that mean? What imagery do you have when God says, hey, walk before me? Describe amongst your groups. You know, when someone says, hey, walk before my face, what does that mean? That's kind of a weird way of talking.
Yeah, I don't think people say that, do they?
People don't say that, right?
But
so then what would people say?
The imagery that I get is kind of like, I think of my kids when they were, I don't know, like toddler age, or something like that. And they can, you know, like play and live, do their thing in front of me, and they're, and they're, who they are, you know, they're not, they don't need to pretend with me that they're,
oh, okay,
you know what I mean, they're just, yeah. When they misbehave, they misbehave. When they want to jump on me, they jump on me. When they want to,
I see,
you know, do their own thing, play with,
you just let them be,
yeah, and they're just before me, they're in front of me, I go watch them, and they are,
okay, yeah, that's good. Yeah, Nancy.
Well, I think that the position gives me a different perspective. Similar, I thought of kids when they were little, toddler age. What I remember is with my own kids and kids now, when I really want to tell them something, I kind of do this and I say, look in my eyes.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
yes.
Focus,
focus, focus, focus, focus, focus, focus, focus, focus, focus, focus, focus,
but you know, kind of do this thing where you're directing their eyesight so they can't see anything else except for my eyes.
Okay.
Eyes, you know, eyes on me so they can have something important to tell you.
My mom got that from something about horses, I think.
1, 2, 3, eyes on me. Oh yeah, blinders.
You put them on. Yeah, when they're racing.
Oh,
those bad horses don't have blinders.
They can't race.
Right? You have seen horse racing? They have blinders on, right? Anyway, some horses that has attention. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Abby?
Well, it comes to my mind when it says walk before me.
Yeah.
In those like army movies where they're like, I got just six, right?
Oh, then, wow, that's good. That's good language. That must be, I got your six. Man, that's, yeah, that's okay.
And you know, like, you're protected because, like, they're behind you and they're like, they're ready to.
I got your six. Oh, yeah, go, you go. I got you. You go, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Movies
we watch now. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Violent movies, yes. All right. Anyone else? Yeah. These are good. I didn't even think about that. And for those of you guys who don't have kids, this can apply to your friends too, right? Your closest friends. You're like, hey, I got your six. Hey, you know, there's no, you guys are yourselves, right? What happened when you're hanging out with your like super good friends? What do you guys have to say certain things or do certain things to be together? What's kind of the, you guys just hanging? And what does that look like, Ryan?
I'm playing basketball.
And then once you're done with basketball, what happens?
I would go to the mall or something.
And then what do you do?
And then we go to their house to play more basketball.
And then after that, what do you do?
And then
I
go home.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. That's not, I mean, you do whatever you want, right? You do whatever you guys want to do together, right? You guys are just like, there's no rules or regulation or guidelines. You just like hang. Okay. Is that true for the rest of you guys too? When you guys know?
No.
No? What would you? How about you, Bethany?
I think if I like hang out with my friends, like, I kind of talk a lot with them. I just chill.
And what do you do when you chill? What is chill? Yeah. What's chill?
Pause.
You just talk.
Talking,
and talk about what?
Like life.
Oh, life.
Anything.
Just anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And there's no script, right? Like, I'm gonna talk to her about this today. I'm gonna talk to her. No, just whatever comes to mind.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Anyone else online? Walk before me. Okay, when Focus Fox, right? With Jackson, I always say, hey, eyes and ears, right? Because when I talk to him, sometimes he's not
he hears me, but it's like, hey, give me your eyes, give me your ears. I think I got it from one of his preschool teachers. Give me your eyes. Give me your eyes, give me your ears. Give me your eyes, give me your ears. Yeah, I need both. I need both. Like, and then when he's looking at me, okay, at least what I say has a better chance of sticking and getting through. He's like, okay, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I see what you're saying. So there's something about this imagery of this, the face, right? Where you're giving attention, but at the same time, you're what Pastor Alex was saying, hey, you're just, you know, my kids are just hanging out, can do whatever they want. They feel very comfortable. And what Bethany is saying, we're just chilling. We're just in each other's presence. There's not a lot of work that's being done. We're just hanging out, playing some basketball, going to the mall, play some more basketball, and go home, right? It's like, just walk. That's what God came to Abraham. He says, just walk before my face. I want to see you be in my presence. Play in front of me, right? Hang in front of me. Yeah, that's, you know, that's great discussion. Thank you for sharing, guys. That that helped me understand that imagery even more. When I talked about, when I was doing this, I said, how do I remember this? I thought about a sandwich. It's a sandwich that I really don't like to eat, because I was just with Pastor James and he said, I love the sandwich. I don't like sandwiches in general, but I really don't like open face sandwiches. What's an open face sandwich?
It's not like falling.
Yeah.
It's exposed.
Why? It falls down. It doesn't make sense. When I get eating, my mouth is not that big. It's pushes. I know you guys have your way of eating open, and it doesn't make sense. Oh, yeah, okay. I don't like it. It's exposed. Right?
You know what it's called?
What is it?
Context, it's called a panini.
I like that. I thought about that, yes. Are you a complete, by the way, this be blameless? Right? He says, walk before me. That's an open face sandwich. And be blameless. The word is, again, be complete in this. Completely in this. There's a connotation of be perfect. Yes, but we usually think like, don't do anything bad. But the bigger context of this word is just be completely with me. Be complete. That's why I said a complete open face sandwich. Like completely exposed. I don't like eating open face sandwich. But I think this is a great imagery to summarize this verse. This part is walk before me. To be this open face sandwich. Don't cover it up. You know, just, yeah, you know, you got avocados in there, you got tomatoes, whatever it is, it's like dripping with egg. I'm like, why? But God says, hey, be an open face sandwich.
You like me.
I like to cover it. Because when you cover it up, I don't need to see what's inside. I'll taste it, right? But that's just sandwich. I like to cover it up. I think in general, I don't know about you guys. Do you guys, how are you an open face sandwich before God? I don't know. Does that speak to you, or does that, Cindy, you're smiling? Say what's in, it's okay.
Panini. It's a panini.
How does that work? Nothing. You wanna share? No, it's just funny. Yeah, I know. I thought, but you know, that's what came to my mind. So I figured, you know, I'll share it, whether it sticks or not. But this is, you know, God saying, hey, just
whatever you don't want to talk about many times with him, maybe you can. He says, just be open with me. Be unexposed, right? Or unhindered. Be completely in me. I'm your God. And he's telling Abraham, I know you're struggling because you're waiting for your son, but you already had Ishmael. He is not the one that I'm going to create that covenant with. Anyone online, do you guys have any thoughts? Feel free to share.
I was thinking about the face that God said in the first part, the using the face. We're recognized by our face. We recognize each other by you know, the structure of our face, and it represents who we are.
Yeah.
I think that's why God, it's part of the reason God said, come walk before me equals the face.
Yeah. Face to face, right? God saying, like, walk before my face. Obviously, he wants us to engage with our face. Unexposed, I mean, unhindered, directly encountering him. And which is why he's revealing himself to Abraham in such a direct way, direct manner. And then he says, right? He does say right before, he says, I am God Almighty. This is where the word comes in, right? El Shaddai, which is Shaddad, which means display power, right? It's translated the Almighty. The Greek word is Pantocrator. I didn't really look into it. I just found this definition. But the one who has his hands on everything. And there's really no secrecy to this word Almighty, right? It just means he is the Almighty. He is the one that controls everything. He is the sovereign God. Some scholars think that maybe back then they call him the Thunderer. Because it's not uncommon back then to ascribe names of the weather to gods, right? So he's the Almighty, okay? I'm not going to go in further into that. We will later. But here's what we have gone through so far. By the way, which one do you guys like the most? It's okay to say, hey, I really, you know, this name really speaks to me. This is the ones we've gone through so far. I think I have the right definitions for all of them. Which ones do you guys like? I'm just curious.
The conquering seas.
Eloi, okay. Yeah, okay. Why?
So, you know, so there's so many, God has so many children, like us, right, believers. There's so many of us, there's so many brothers and sisters that I feel extra special when he sees me amongst so many of his children.
People. Uh-huh.
And that what really blows my mind is that he sees all of us individually.
Okay.
Like to see me, Bob Chang, I just feel that extra special. You feel that
really feels,
extra
yeah.
special.
I, yeah.
Amongst to be seen by God, God the Creator, the you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sky, right? To be known by him, I feel extra special.
Okay.
Amongst the millions of his children. His heart, right?
Anyone else? Is there one that you particularly like or that kind of spoke to you?
I like the Lord is my shepherd.
Lord is your shepherd. Okay. Yeah.
It's like, I feel like I'm the sheep too. I like to follow. And of course you want to follow somebody that is, that loves you, right? And that is almighty. That will take care of you.
Yeah.
But it gave me a sense of peace and love and yeah.
Yeah.
So I like that feeling, no responsibility.
Yes, I like that one too. That's my favorite. The Lord is my shepherd, right? Because we're just manging around, right? We don't know what to do sometimes. We need that shepherd. Yes. Yeah, that's great. That's a great one. One more, anyone? Particular one you like?
I think the Lord will provide.
Oh.
Because I feel like there's so many things we will like ask of God. Can you do this for us?
Oh yeah.
Can you do all these things for us? I'm always like asking God for things, but
yeah.
Just knowing that like He will provide for us.
Yeah.
That He's like known to find a way.
Yeah. It sounds the best too, Jehovah Jireh. You know, it's a song too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another good one that He provides for us. That's such a, because only He knows what you really need. Only He can provide what you really need, right? Yes. Thank you, Abby. That's good. That's good. So, I don't know if we want to share this, but I do want to ask this because you see, a lot of these names we like is because, and God revealed these names, we talked about a few weeks earlier, is it's when we really need something. We're desperate. And God comes and says, hey, I'm Jehovah Jireh. Right? When Abraham really needed something, God says, hey, I'm going to provide. And he's going to, when Hagar is by the wayside, and then God says, hey, I'm the God who sees you. It comforts you. And that's great. But if we've been Christians long enough, I think it's safe to say that some of us, maybe most of us, or a lot of us, still have doubts. Maybe not doubting Jesus who resurrected from the dead. Maybe you do. But are there still some doubts? Yeah? Is it just me? Do you guys have some doubts about God? It's okay, we can be an open-faced sandwich. God can't handle it.
I'm pretty open-faced, so.
Oh, you're open-faced sandwich? Panini?
There's
panini?
A, yeah,
come on,
definitely.
Panini.
There's this song that New Pastor James recently was challenging me, even the concept of like my faith that he could heal me. It's kind of a big thing, and I know we privilege faith, but you know, I've just been thinking about that in the last 2 weeks. And there's a song that I came across that I really appreciate the lyrics to. It's by Elevation Worship. And the lyrics say, or the song is called More Than Able. And it says, and this is, I think, expressing my level of doubt.
Yeah, okay.
When did I start to forget all of the great things you did. When did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe you are sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? And then the chorus goes, you are more than able. You are more than able. We've seen it. You are more than able. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
Mm.
Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? So, I think there's that perspective. I think there's, you know, at least even for me, I'm not like shy to admit that there's like times when there are doubts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, would you really do that, God? You know, I think you could, but would you do that? Not sure.
Yeah. That's thank you for sharing that. It's really honest because, you know, we're going through the names of God. Right before this, we went through the miracles of God. And I remember you saying in one of your sermons, hey, let's not just talk about miracles. Let's experience some miracles, right? I'm like, and then, you know what? I taught on the books, the miracles. I'm like, I don't know if I can experience some miracles. I've been watching The Chosen. You guys watching that? I'm hooked.
It's good.
It's good. I'm hooked on that fish. That's two hooks in there. I'm hooked. It's really good.
It's good.
I've never seen the Jesus portrayed such, because he's usually portrayed like a robot. Yes, be blessed. You know, I just, it's really bad. It's really bad.
Kind of
Indian, yeah. So I'm sorry. And but I really, I mean, my heart really attaches to that character.
Yeah.
Right.
And the guy who plays it. Like,
yeah. So there's one part that I recently seen. You know, Jesus is walking. He's in his camp, and then this leper comes. He's walking like a zombie. Do a good zombie, right? He's walking like a zombie like this. Right? He's walking like a zombie because he's the leper and it hurts his body to move because his whole body is just rotting. And then he goes to Jesus, says, would you please heal me? Jesus, yes, I'm willing. And Jesus just touches his hands and then his hand just starts turning into like regular skin. And I'm like, that's awesome. That looks like it's real.
Yeah.
That looks like it's happening right now. But then in the back of my mind, I'm like, if somebody really had that condition right now, would I be able to see in front of my face? I'm not so sure. But yeah, we, you know, I think there's that tension. I don't think we can cover it all today, but yeah, that's a discussion I really am having with God all the time, with others. A good discussion I would like to love to have all together as well. Doubts about God. Anyone online? You guys, you don't have to go in depth, but you guys also have some doubts too? Some things that are hard to believe that you're believing for?
Well, yes, of course. When you hear of things people, other non-believers say about the Bible, or they say about certain parts of Christianity, then you can't avoid hearing sometimes about that. And then you think about it. Of course you don't believe it, but then you wonder a little bit about it too.
You wonder about it too, because you're like, yeah, I see why they're questioning God. Hmm. Hey, Bob.
I sometimes doubt God has my having open
face sandwich. Okay.
I sometimes doubt that God has my present intentions. I have always known that I'm an impatient person. I think recently, through some circumstances, it really hit me that I really realize that I am an impatient person, because I can't wait on God's. I have the struggle of waiting for God's timing. It's like, God, you know I'm going through this, right? And I'm pouring my heart out to you. Oh, how come you're not taking it or making it happen right away?
Oh, right? Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, I want it now. I'm now. I want it now. I want it yesterday. Right?
Okay.
You know, so why kind of, and you know I'm struggling through this, but you're letting it drag out.
Yeah.
You're allowing this for some reason, right? And that's where kind of the enemy casts doubt in my head. I believe God, right? I believe in Jesus. I believe that He died for me, for my sins. But there is this doubt that creeps in from the enemy that says, well, God doesn't have your best intention or best interest in mind.
Yeah.
But I know theoretically, yes, He does. Right? And I've experienced it before that He's always had my best interest. But it's this, the enemy kind of. That's where, like, kind of my strength, my faith stretches.
Yeah. That is the tension that we have, right? In faith. How about some of you young folks? Is there something that you really want? You don't have to tell me. But in your mind, something you really want. That's past the superficial stuff, like, oh, I really want this shirt, this shoe, this thing. But there's something that in the depths of your heart, even for young people, there's something that you're hoping for, that you're yearning for, and you do ask God. I know you go to God. But Brother Bob just said, but he's just not answering. Or he's answering in a different way, or he's kind of silent. You guys have that? No. Okay, no. He answers you. Praise the Lord for that. He answers you.
He either answers or they don't ask.
Do you ask? You do ask. Does he answer? No. What? He doesn't. He loves you, though. Yeah. He doesn't answer you. How do you feel when he doesn't answer you yet?
I was gonna say like torn, kind of.
Torn, yeah. That's not
like
a good word.
Heavy.
Like
left me.
Left you, yeah.
Like, oh, right.
He didn't, yes. Oh, yeah. I feel that way too. I'm torn many times. I feel like he left me, but I know he didn't leave me. So you're kind of in that state waiting, right? And that's where your faith becomes even stronger.
For that reason, I think that grind.
The grind, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because
it
forces you to go to God.
Yeah. So that grind and that torn actually forces you to kind of get in the face of God even more. Is that okay? Yeah, Cindy.
So, like, I think this question I've, like, thought about a lot, like, this past year, especially, like, in light of why I pray for Pastor Alex as well, you know, through his healing, like, asking for healing, and also in my own life, in my, like, areas that I need healing. And I remember it just that question like brought me back to like when we had that, you know, prayer meeting for Pastor Alex, and I had this passage came to me so strongly. I remember like while people were praying over him, I was reading it over
okay.
and over. It's like the passage of like the father who brings his child who's like demon possessed, right? And he says like
right.
this, he's often cast into the fire and to the water, and you know, he sees to destroy him. And the father says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And then Jesus says, if you can,
right.
all things are possible for one who believes. And immediately the father of the child cries out, I believe, help my unbelief. So I remember thinking that like this room of people praying over our pastor, like we want to believe, but like, I think in essence, the dad was saying like, my faith, I have faith in you, Jesus. Like, I know you can, but my faith is so weak. Like, it's so little. Like, it's so imperfect. Like, I need you to make it perfect. I need you to help my unbelief. Like, even in my belief, there's unbelief. Like,
mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, like, in this room, I know we are a group of people mm-hmm. who want to believe.
Yeah.
But there are, like, those little pockets of unbelief in every one of us. Like, God, would you fill those little pockets? I remember praying over him, like, you know, with that thought in my head, like, we're imperfect in our faith, right? Like,
yeah.
we're incomplete in our faith. And in my own life, too, when I pray for God's, like, miracles to happen, for his, like, complete healing in an area, right? Like, do I have 100% faith that, like, you know, if I can, all things are possible for one who believes, right? Like, am I there? No, I know I'm not. But I do pray in faith, right?
And, yeah.
So I remember that just kept coming up and, like, asking God, like, just make our faith complete, you know? Like, be here with us tonight, right? And I think, like, it's been cool to see how God has answered that, you know? I think I'm, like, a step or lots of steps closer to that, you know, in areas of my life and in praying for Pastor Alex. And I think many brothers and sisters have experienced God, like, you know, like strengthening their faith and growing
mm-hmm.
their faith in that. You know?
Yeah.
So to me, it's not like that I doubt, it's that I think my faith needs to continue to like grow, you know, bigger and bigger as I see God, like, bigger and bigger in my life, right?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, that's
what
something I've been talking about, you know.
That's really good sharing. Yeah, it's really similar to what Abby said, too, right? You're being torn, right? But I believe, though, right? But I'm waiting.
Right.
But then at the same time, it's that grinding of faith
mm-hmm.
That is driving us to like, yeah, I want to. And then God somehow, and these things, I don't think you can put it on paper. You mentioned like, yeah, like he's answering my prayers, right? But in very different ways that you know that he's there and your faith is growing.
The fact is, God does answer our prayers,
mm-hmm.
every single one of them,
mm-hmm.
at least with my experience.
Okay.
God will answer every single one of your prayers.
Mm.
It just may not be the way you imagine it to be answered.
Yeah.
Or when it was answered, how it's answered, in what form.
Yeah.
But always looking back in hindsight, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, right? But always looking back, it's like, yeah, God did answer my prayers, all of my prayers, but
mm-hmm.
at that time, not in the way that I was anticipating. He did.
Yeah.
So that's why I keep saying, not yet, not yet, not yet. But, so I guess that's where my kind of impatient kind of plays in,
yeah.
too. Like, I want to know.
Thank you, Bob. And another thing, as you're mentioning about that faith part, because this actually does go in correlation with faith, and I've been really studying this part and just asking the Lord, what is faith, right? What do you call us to have faith in other than just Jesus, and which is really important, Jesus, his crucifixion, his resurrection,
everything is about faith. The Bible says, without faith, you cannot please God, right? And there is a journey of faith because, oh, ye of little faith. Remember when Jesus told his disciples, there is little faith. But then remember the centurion. What did he say to the centurion? You guys remember? Centurion said, hey, look, Jesus, I need my servant healed. And Jesus said, oh, do you want me to go and heal him? And the centurion said,
just say the word.
Just say the word. You don't even need to go. And Jesus was shocked. I mean, for Jesus to be shocked, what do you say? Oh, I've never seen anyone like with this great faith. He was shocked. He says, it is done. That was it. That's true. Jesus, like, I was going to just travel with you and I will heal. But you have faith for me to just have a transcendent healing. You're like, I can do that too. So if the centurion didn't ask, that wouldn't have happened. So then Jesus does say, that's great faith. So there's already a comparison. His own disciples, oh, ye have little faith. And then to the centurion, Gentile, who doesn't even know Jesus that well, says great faith. So there's already a growth there.
Yeah, I think that was a really good point that Cindy made. I think there's this picture of a faith spectrum. That particular father demonstrated that, right? Like, I do believe.
Yeah.
A lot of times we do have that faith. It's maybe just incomplete. It doesn't have the full spectrum of it. And I think God, you know, Jesus also said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, which is the smallest, you know, seed known to that, you know, agrarian society, right? Like, they know how small a mustard seed is, right? He said,
we'll remove this mountain.
Remove this mountain, right? So I think this is a cool topic. I think it, you know, hopefully may tie into Pastor James's sermon today on like prayer, right? Like, how often do we pray with that, with just faith, wanting to pray with faith? I'll go back to that song. I'm not quoting the Bible, I'm sorry, but in that particular song, More Than Able, I think the bridge says, can you imagine with all of the faith in the room what the Lord can do? Can you imagine with all of the faith that's in the room, everyone asking, when everyone asks with faith for something, can we imagine what the Lord can do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't think we think even of collective faith, you know? That when we pray collectively, there's a group of people praying in faith for something, for VBS coming up, whatever it is. Like, when we actually gather to pray in faith for something, do we ever imagine what the Lord can do?
Yeah.
Right?
It's more than a mustard seed.
It's more than, at least, probably. Yeah, at least three mustard seeds.
But, right, imagine that. Yeah. Like, I'm saying, you have faith as small as a mustard seed.
Yeah.
I mean, collectively, there's that's unimaginable.
And I think that's what the song says. Like, you can't even imagine that.
Yeah, that reminds me of a story. I heard someone say that there was once that he was called to pray for someone who was sick, and there was a lot of people. Then they're gonna go pray. The room is not that big, and he was selective on who can come in to pray, because the patient had faith to be healed. And he says, I cannot allow those who don't have faith. Not that you can't pray. Again, I'm not saying whether he did was right or wrong, but he says, those with faith come in, because you have collectively, he believes collectively with faith, something can happen. And those who like, I'm not sure, it's okay. You don't come in. And I just, that story just stuck with me. I'm like, okay, those with faith collectively can have, can you imagine what can it do, right? What can it do? This does tie in to El Shaddai eventually. But we, you know, I thought this is a good question since we kept on talking, right? And I didn't intend this to be about faith. El Shaddai is actually not talking about faith, but everything ties in when it's about God. It will.
We have faith in.
Yeah, it's the one we have faith in. And he is the Almighty. He's the one who has everything in his hands at the end of it all. I do have to mention that, you know, with this question, not everyone may think about this as much, but I do know that sooner or later we will have doubts. Sooner or later we will have to confront this, and it's not a bad thing when you do have to confront doubts. It actually will draw you closer to El Shaddai. It will draw you closer. So don't be afraid when you do actually encounter this great doubt.
Can I say my doubts right now?
Hey, Jay. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Can you say that again, please?
Sure. Yeah, this doubt like bothered me many years.
Mm.
Yes. I have been looking for, like, Googling for the explanations, like the God ordered Israelites to kill all of the people in Canaan, like old and young, like babies, women.
Yes.
I wish God didn't say that. So that bothered me a lot for like many years.
It bothered you because why God asked them to do that?
Yeah, I saw that. I listened to the explanations, like they are wicked people. God waited them for 400 years. And or another, like, it's a hyperbole. But after a while, I started to, like, just think about that's not a, that's still not a silver bullet.
Yes. Yeah. That the question is really like, why would God do that, really, right? Because that seems so mean, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That is a big question. So if you're okay with that, I don't want to spend like the last 2 minutes, because I don't think it would do justice to that big question, because that's really on the character of God. Why would God do that? And that's a big question for me too. Why, as I'm reading the Old Testament, why would God ask the Israelites to wipe an entire tribe out to take the land, right? That is what you're asking, right, Zoying?
Yes.
Yes. But I do want to I know we can talk about that when you're at church, you know. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for sharing. Yeah, these are big questions. There's doubts in our mind, and God wants to address those.
Would you say doubt is a good thing? It forces us to go to God, right?
I think I will quote something that I heard before, and which is the best answer. I think doubt is a sign of a progression of your faith.
A progression.
Yeah. When there is doubt, that means you're asking. That means you're like, you know, if the doubt is towards God, like, I want to know more. But it's like that guy, you know, that father, like, I believe, but help my unbelief. He's telling Jesus, I do believe, but I have doubts. Help me so that I can believe more.
Would you, with that being said, would you believe, would you say, also say that I could be a captain of the enemy?
Yes.
You can't doubt. No. You know, because the enemy's sneaky, right?
Okay. Yeah, that's sure. Sometimes we're told, hey, just believe. Sometimes or just agree with me. Don't think. Yeah, there can be many, there's a spectrum of, that's why the Bible says our heart is really deceitful. Sometimes we don't even know. And I think these questions, it's healthy to bring forth in a group and talk about, right? So that, you know, when we're in the midst of, in the midst of believers, we can work through these questions. But it's very obvious that we do have doubts. And I think it's really healthy for us to address it together. Yeah. And God is not scared by your doubt. He is not put off. He wants to engage more, as we will see as we go into next week and learn more about El Shaddai. There is actually, God does engage in our doubts. Right? He does engage. Yeah. Yes? Okay, let's pray. Dear Jesus, help us with our incomplete faith, faith that is still sometimes in the grind, and just maybe we don't understand everything, and it really bothers us, and it would bring us down when we can't hear from you. We don't see things happening. We don't see miracles. Lord, we know that you are still here and you are with us. And you walk us, just you walk us through like who you say you are. You are our shepherd. That even in the midst of doubt, you lead us, whether we know it or not. Whether we acknowledge you or not, you are leading us because we are your children. And we believe that you are our God. We pray that our doubts may be a time and a season and a tool to draw us closer to you. That those doubts become faith builders. As those doubts become rocks that we will stand on, because you've answered them in a unique way that's very personal to us. We thank you that you do not leave us empty and unaccounted for, and you don't leave us just without a shepherd. But you're always leading us. You're always talking to us and engaging with us. So we thank you because you are a loving God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.